Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the ACTUS podcast, a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI, as well as sharing the latest news relevant to the CDI profession and ACTUS. I'm Carla Kozak, Editorial Manager of Products and Events for ACTUS, and I'll be your host for today's show. Today's topic is collaborative CDI initiatives and special projects, and my guest is Amy Callanan, MSN, RN, CCDS, Educator for Clinical Documentation Integrity at Presbyterian Healthcare Services, which is based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Before we get started, a quick reminder that the ACTUS podcast offers 0.5 ACTUS CEU for the first 4 days after posting, which can be used towards recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO. We will share the instructions at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. And now just a quick word from today's sponsor. The 2026 ACTUS Pocket Guide is your essential CDI resource. It includes updates to clinical diagnostic standards, the official guidelines for coding and reporting, ICD-10 CM codes, and CDI critical thinking tips. The 2026 ACTUS Pocket Guide is co-written by industry veteran Lori Prescott, RN, MSN, CCDS, CCDSO, CDIP, CRC, and James Manns, MD, CCDSO, a practicing physician at Mayo Clinic, steeped in the latest physician documentation terminology. The 2026 ACTUS Pocket Guide is a winning combination of practical, tailored CDI tips and resources, as well as clinical, regulatory, and coding guidelines adapted from the official sources. Order your copy today. Thank you again for joining us today, Amy, on the ACTUS podcast. I'm really excited to have you here to chat about something that I know you're so passionate about, particularly CDI special projects and initiatives that really require a lot of collaboration across departments. I know that you've been involved with several special projects at your organization. So I'm hoping we can start by talking about the first special project you worked on, the collaboration with CT Surgery. Can you tell me a little bit about how this came about?
Absolutely. So like all special projects and all great things that happen, they just kind of fell into your lap. So that happened in this situation is back in early 2023, which feels like ages ago, the quality analyst that worked for Heart and Vascular Service Line, Tony, he was working on his dissertation for his DMP, and he was focused on the impact of documentation on quality metrics. And when looking at some of the quality metrics in the CT surgery program, he had found that the relative weight of our CT surgery program was lower than similar programs here in New Mexico, which was very concerning because we were doing more complex procedures than these other hospitals were doing. And so that was a big concern both for him from a quality standpoint and for the service line leadership, because weight also equals reimbursement. So it's a concern for everybody. Tony and I had worked together at a different organization, and we had a lot of mutual respect for each other. And so he reached out to me for a little bit more information just about CDI in general and whether or not our work could have impact on relative weight, which we know it does. And so after we had a really super quick intro to CDI, he asked if he could look at a couple of cases with me that he thought might have documentation opportunity, just to kind of see like what I thought on it. And really, we just looked at, I want to say probably two charts, and it became really, really clear that not only was there documentation opportunity on those charts, but we were able to kind of look at some of the final coding and see that there was coding opportunity. And so I was like really psyched thinking about all of the impact the CDI could have on this. And I was absolutely raring to go, but obviously needed to talk to my leadership about it before I could say, yes, we will help you with this. And so I ran the conversation with Tony by my manager, and she agreed that this would be a great idea for us to focus our reviews on CT surgery cases. Surgical cases in general are great to get CDI eyes on. And so, and also to build those relationships with service lines. Like, we really wanted to start building relationships with providers across the organization. So this was a great intro to be able to do that. I think it was the next day or so, we pitched the idea to our director, and her first question to me, and I was a brand new CDI educator at this time, was, do you have the bandwidth for this? And my immediate response was, absolutely not, but I'll think about it. So once she gave us the green light and said, yeah, you can go for it, my manager, Amy, so we're the Amys, jumped right in and just started this whole project. And the funny thing is that, you know, 2023 felt like it was forever ago. And so I actually had to call Tony, the quality analyst, and be like, okay, can you remind me how all this madness got started? And thankfully, he was really easy to track down because he just joined our CDI department as a brand new CDS. And so he was able to kind of jog my memory about how we got started.
So can you tell me a little bit about, like, once you got started, what was the pilot project that you launched? How did you see this as a solution to the problem that you and Tony had identified?
I think part of launching the project was really just trying to figure out what the problems were and whether or not CDI was going to be able to offer a solution. And so, you know, we wanted to figure out how much time we needed to invest in this initially to get an idea of the scope of the issues. And so we figured a 30-day trial review of purely just like open valve cases and cabbages would give us an idea of what's going on and if we would be able to help them with their relative weight and with their reimbursement on these cases. And so we started off thinking, okay, this is, we'll just do 30 days. We'll look at these cases, but how do we go about this? And we'd never really done a targeted review before of a service line. So we were just flying by the seat of our pants, trying to figure out how to set this up. And so we were able to identify that there were 13 DRGs in general that we wanted to look at. And we have this amazing epic analyst who's a guru, and she was able to set us up a work queue that would pull these 13 DRGs into the work queue. They're all post-coding but pre-bill. And we just decided, okay, this is how we're going to get started. And I started reviewing those cases. The other thing that we found that was we had to do right off the bat is we had to create a centralized spreadsheet because we needed to keep track of all of the information. So this spreadsheet was pretty extensive, and I will say that when I go back and I look at our CT surgery spreadsheet, it feels so small compared to our current spreadsheet because as we do more of these projects, we figure out that there's all these different data points that we really need to be catching, but you don't know that when you first start off. So we really focused on things that we thought would be important at the time. So we're looking at like pre and post review DRGs. Pre and post review weights, what the GLOS is, SOI and ROM, and reimbursements. We were looking at our pre and post review stuff. And then we were also looking at our query responses, our query rate, what kind of responses we were getting back from the providers. And then we were trying to capture our impact on the particular chart, whether it be a financial impact or an SOI ROM impact. And then the last thing that we kept track of was whether or not this impact was because of query we sent, or if it was because of a coding recommendation that we made, or if it was a combination of the two, because we were going to go back later and use that to help us figure out where to target education.
Go ahead.
No, that's okay. It was one of those where it's like, okay, we're doing our best to get this started. And really that's how we launched it. And we just jumped straight into reviews at that point. And I want to say that it was the first two cases that I had reviewed with Tony, that carried on through the other 30 days worth of reviews that I did. What we found right off the bat was that CT surgeons did a great job of documenting their procedures. So that was nice that they had excellent op notes. But where we were running into issues was in the post-op area, because they were mainly doing like signs and symptoms or descriptions of a patient's condition without some sort of related codable diagnosis. And so we would have these long length of stays and code sets that are just filled with R codes. There is no MCC in sight, and they're in like the lowest tier that they can get for that particular DRG. So our big focus at that point was just trying to add CCs and MCCs to the case. And then the other thing we noticed too was these really complex cases are hard for everybody. And our coders were struggling with the procedure notes and with picking up diagnoses. And so we also did a lot of focus on making sure that we had correct code capture so that they went out the door billed correctly. And so that was really how we launched these and how we started doing these reviews.
I loved that you looked at it from so many different angles. You can really tell all the different parties that were involved in the collaboration because you didn't just look at one thing. You looked at, and I know you said your spreadsheets now are so much more intense and complicated, but it already sounds like you were considering so many different angles. So what ultimately, what did you see for outcomes, or how did you measure success of the pilot program? Was there like clinical impact? I know you mentioned financial, SOI, ROI, you looked at query impact. Like what did you ultimately see?
So it was really actually obvious after the first 30 days, it was pretty incredible the impact that we had. We were thankfully able to get some baseline data before we started, which is always nice because you don't know where you've gone if you don't know where you've been. And so we had figured out that like the MCC capture rate for CABGs was only 66%. And it was only 73% of our VAL cases. So those are pretty significantly low MCC capture rates on these pretty intense procedures. And during that pilot project, I did 27 case reviews and I found some sort of opportunity on 14 of them and was able to upgrade the DRG on 8 of those. And so we calculated a financial impact estimated around $120,000 just for that 30-day review. And so that was pretty amazing to be able to show that we had a pretty significant impact financially, but we're also moving, you know, as we're moving DRGs up into higher tiers, we're also moving the relative weight, which is a major concern for CT surgery. And so we shared those initial project findings, that 30-day with heart and vascular leadership, and they were overwhelmingly impressed with our impact. And of course, they said, hey, can you do this for a little bit longer? And I'm like, of course. So we ended up deciding that a 90-day period was kind of the sweet spot. If we can review cases for 3 months, we can get a good idea of what's going on and we can actually see in the moment impact. And the other great thing is that they also assured us like, hey, we're 100% on board. Our providers are 100% on board. You have our support in this. And so that's really nice because when you're trying to do a special project and you don't have provider buy-in, it's a little more challenging. So the next 60 days of the project were pretty intense. So not only did we do case reviews, but I ended up doing at the elbow work with the APC. So I went into the ICU and I rounded with them and I had looked at their patients that we were going to talk about. So we were able to talk about conditions and clinical indicators and clinical criteria beforehand. And then I was available to them while they wrote their notes. And so we really built that relationship back and forth between me and the providers. And then Gretchen was, she's the lead APC with our CT surgery group, and she was an absolute rock star. She was in this 100%, and she provided so much education to her peers. I really couldn't have done it without her. And so she actually asked me to start coming to the M&M conferences as well and reviewing the cases that they had complications on and mortalities. And seeing like, hey, did we capture what was going on with these patients? And we figured out we didn't really. So we needed to work on some of that a little bit more. In the full, I think we wrapped up our patient reviews, I wanna say September of 2023, with a total of 106 cases being reviewed and 17 DRGs upgraded for an estimated financial impact of about $240,000. And you know, when we talk about money, it's my manager calls it funny money. I call it monopoly money. We don't actually know what the money is. This is just kind of like what 3M or Epic tells us based on our base rate for reimbursement. So that's like one piece of it when we're looking at the financials is that we don't actually know what we ended up making, but we do know that we had significant increases in MCC capture rates. So there's definitely money in there that we can't account for because we didn't actually send queries or do coding recommendations. The providers just did better in documenting and they upgraded those cases on their own. So that was one thing that we were really impressed with was our estimated financial impact. The other thing is we were able to kind of nail down some of those baseline data and compare them to the data that followed doing all of this review and education. And our case mix index went from 6.4 to 7.22, which is a 13% increase. And that's huge in a surgical realm. And then the other thing is that our MCC capture rates for CABGs went from 66% to 97%. and our valve MCC capture rates went from 73 to 94. So we know that we had significant impact on these charts, and we're finally actually representing this patient's clinically. And also buying a little extra length of stay for them as well. So we weren't consistently going over the GLOS anymore. So, and then one of the other impact that we can't really put a number on is building those relationships between CDI and providers.
It's so huge.
It's so huge. And our APC that we work with in CT surgery, Gretchen, she's still with them and she is our champion. And we have an amazing relationship to this day. And because we spent so much time doing education with her, every time a new provider joins their group, she's able to do that education with them. And so it's nice to be able to kind of be hands off, but know that they're still getting the information. And then if we struggle getting a query answered for CT surgery, it's a quick message. And she is just on top of it. So building those relationships and having that champion was incredible.
Yeah, you talked a couple of times about just the importance of building those relationships. And it makes me wonder, did you have a prior relationship or a collaboration with this service line? Or do you really credit this pilot project with creating that relationship?
No, we had worked with the cardiology groups, both with interventional cardiology and CT surgery previously. I think they've struggled a little bit with their documentation for a number of years. And in, I think it was back in 2021, they asked us to do some education on documentation with the cardiologists and with CT surgery. And so we did like an initial just kind of talking about like chronic complications and how to do some documenting. And what kept coming up after we did this initial education from the providers was their concern about their registries. It was over and over and over again. What about registries? Is this going to affect registries? Types of things. And they were really worried about complications and having a negative effect on registry data because we use registries for benchmarking and quality data. And my previous role before joining CDI was a cath lab director. So I've worked very closely with cardiology groups, and I knew several of these folks professionally, and I knew how important that registries were to them. And I remember how important they were to me as a director, because that's how you benchmark your program against other programs across the country. And so one thing that I did to really build a relationship and talk at their level about their concerns is I got access to the registry platforms for both CT surgery and for PCI, so that I can understand the data points and like what actually constitutes a complication. Because my guess was that their struggles with documentation didn't have anything to do with the clinical care that they were providing. It had everything to do with fear of documenting something that might be construed as a complication and affecting the registry data. So it was kind of a fear-based issue. And so once I was able to get in there and look at the data at points and look at the complications, I could tailor my education to them and talk to them on their level and ease their fears and talk to them about what a true complication was versus a perceived complication. And so that was really great to be able to do that. Their focus shifted and we stopped doing sessions with them in the end of 2021. And then in 2022, CT surgery, Gretchen reached out and said, hey, we want to redo our progress notes. Can you help? And so what we ended up doing is working with our physician advisor and myself and Gretchen to try to develop a standardized dot phrase for common conditions that CT surgery encounters with their patients, and also to update their progress note. We did all of that, but it didn't really seem to stick, but it really set us up for success later when they reached out to us and wanted to get our help in what it ended up being our special project with them. So it kind of opened up that door through those relationships. So they weren't new to us at all. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's awesome that you're able to build on a foundation that you already had and just continue to improve that relationship and strengthen that relationship, because it's so important to be able to collaborate with others when you're in a role like CDI that touches so many different things.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to be able to, when providers see you as being knowledgeable and intelligent and knowing, being able to speak their language, that just really, it helps them feel more comfortable with the process. And so having a strong background in cardiology and having worked in a cath lab, I think it really made it, it was an advantage for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can definitely see that. So we are unfortunately running out of time, but I do have one final question I wanted to ask you about this whole thing, if you don't mind. I want to ask how you were able to apply what you learned during this particular special project to other special projects. I said at the top of the show, for anybody that doesn't remember, you've participated in a few of these. So how did your first experience really shape your next special projects?
I think one of the first things that we really recognized is that we needed to formalize our process. And so flying by the seat of the pants was great for the first one, but it's really not going to work if we're going to continue to do more projects and bigger projects. And so we finalized a formal project plan that would let everybody know what the project entailed, timelines to expect. And it also kept us on track to make sure that we didn't miss any important pieces. Because the first time you do these, you realize that you've made mistakes or you've missed something. And so the project plan really kind of gave us a guide and kept us on track. Some of the other things that we really figured out is that coding, and if you have a coding quality department like we do, those folks need to be engaged in this project. We have to have them involved. You can do all the education in the world with CDI and with your providers. But if you fail to engage coding in the project, then you fail to close the loop. Because not everybody who's touching that chart from a documentation and billing and coding standpoint is getting the same information. But I think the final thing that we really learned was that, you really need to have provider buy-in and provider champions, and you need to have a lot of support from upper leadership. So that makes it a lot easier to be able to make these projects successful and for the providers to kind of understand the why. So it's not just us telling us this is important, but it's also their leadership saying, hey, this is important. And so that was one of the things that we learned. And we did a little bit of hands-on with CT surgery. Our department quickly became 100% remote after that. And so the last thing that we learned is that it is 100% possible to do a special project when you are a remote program. You do not need to be scared of trying to initiate something just because you are remote. You don't have to necessarily be in person or hybrid in order to be successful.
That's such a great point to end on, because so many programs are moving towards that hybrid model or have gone fully remote. So I love that you took a second to address that. This doesn't necessarily need to be an in-person collaboration to be successful.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you so much for your time, Amy. It's clear from our conversation how passionate you are about CDI as a profession and about collaborating with others in these special projects. I think this has been really helpful, and I hope our listeners agree. Unfortunately, as I noted before, we have run out of time for our discussion today, but I really appreciate you being here. And as always, if our listeners have any questions about this topic, do feel free to email the ACTIS team at info@actis.org. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Now it's time for the ACTIS update, a regular segment featuring the latest news on what's going on inside the association. I do have quite a bit to share with you today, so bear with me, because when is it ever a dull moment here at ACTIS, or for that matter, within CDI? So first, I want to say that we are doing our last call for January committee volunteers. So if you're interested in serving on an ACTIS committee, we encourage you to submit your application as soon as possible and no later than January 31st. For our January call for committee volunteers, we're accepting applications for the certification committee, which maintains and updates the CCDS and CCDSO certification programs, including the exam and its prerequisites. The regulatory committee, which reviews regulatory policy for updates pertinent to CDI, the profession, and provides summary, interpretation, and analysis to the ACTIS community. We're also accepting for the Resource Library Committee, which reviews materials donated to the ACTIS community for publication in our resource library, and it ensures that they're accurate, compliant, relevant, and effective. And lastly, a little bit different from the other committees, we're accepting applications for the ACTIS Advisory Board. The ACTIS Advisory Board is responsible for providing leadership, expertise, and an industry voice for the ACTUS community by authoring official position papers and white papers, participating on the quarterly member call panel discussions, and more. The membership on the ACTUS Advisory Board includes CDI professionals from backgrounds representative of the broader CDI community. And this year in particular, we're seeking one member from a provider background, one from an HIM background, and two from a clinician background. All finalists will be subject to a public vote by the ACTUS membership this spring. Now, on a different note, we are holding a last call for submissions for the March/April CDI journal. So if you're interested in writing for the journal and being considered for publication, the deadline to submit your article is February 1st. Now, CDI journal articles tend to be 750 to 1500 words long, roughly. And though the topic is left to the author, each edition of the journal does center around a particular theme. And the theme for the March-April CDI journal is clinical encoding. So we definitely encourage you to think about a topic within that theme, though of course you can write about whatever you'd like. You can find more information about submitting your article in the link in today's show notes. Lastly, I wanted to provide a couple updates about the upcoming ACTUS conference this April in Chicago. First and foremost, I want to encourage you to book your hotel room using the room block link, which is now available. Now, in order to get the guaranteed discount rate, you need to book through this link specifically, and it is different from going to the hotel website. So you can access the link on the HC Marketplace page for the conference or using the link in today's show notes. Again, to ensure you get the discounted rate, you have to book through this link. In the past, the ACTUS conference room block has sold out as well, so I encourage you to book as soon as you're able. I would not wait until the last minute to book within the room block because we can't guarantee availability. Now, if you're thinking about attending the ACTUS conference, but you're not 100% sure yet, I also wanted to share that it's a great opportunity to earn the CEUs you need for recertifying your certifications. So we have three pre-conferences this year that'll be held April 19th to the 20th in Chicago. We have the ACTUS Physician Advisor Forum. Attendees can attend this program that's dedicated specifically to physician advisor efforts in the CDI realm and earn 11 ACCME, ACTUS, HEMA, and NURI credits. We have the ACTUS Symposium Outpatient CDI, which is dedicated specifically to CDI efforts in the outpatient arena. And attendees of that event can earn 11 ACTUS, HEMA, ANCC, and NARI CEUs, with more to come soon. And then lastly, for the very first time, we're offering our CCDS exam prep pre-conference. Now, attendees of this event are those who are interested in sitting for the CCDS exam soon and either are currently eligible or are soon to be eligible. This intensive pre-conference is designed to prepare you to sit for the exam, and it will offer 11.5 ANCC credits. Now, if you're interested in attending the 2026 ACTUS National Conference, which will take place immediately after these pre-conference events from April 20th to the 23rd, in Chicago, those attendees will be able to claim 13 ACTUS, AHIMA, ANCC, and NARI CEUs, again, with more to come. So it really is a great opportunity to make some serious headway on getting the CEUs you need to recertify your credentials. So as always, you can find the link for more information in today's show notes as well. Then feel free to email us at info@actus.org with any questions. As a reminder before we close out, each ACTUS podcast episode offers 0.5 ACTUS CEU, which can be used towards recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO credential for those who listen to the show in the first 4 days from the time of publication. To receive your 0.5 CEU, go to the show page on actus.org by clicking on the ACTUS podcast link under the free resources tab. Then select today's episode from the list on that page. Then scroll down to the recording of today's episode and press play. At the end of the video, when the timer hits zero, a link to the CEU evaluation will appear. Click on that, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you upon submitting the brief evaluation. These instructions are also laid out on the show page, so you can follow along there too. To ensure your certificate reaches you and does not get trapped in your organization's spam filters, we strongly suggest that you use a personal email address when completing the form. The cutoff for today's episode CEU is Sunday, February 1st at 11 p.m. Eastern. After that point, the CEU period will close and you will not be eligible for the 0.5 CEU for this week's episode. And with that, we've reached the end of today's episode. But we'll be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, February 11th with a new episode hosted by ACTUS editor Jess Flegel. If you'd like to receive reminders about each episode, make sure you subscribe to our free weekly newsletter, CDI Strategies, which always includes a link to the new episode when it's available. You can listen to the show at any time on the ACTUS website or via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. All the links we discussed during today's episode will be available in the show notes. And as always, we'd appreciate it if you'd take a second to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app, as it helps others find our show. Our intro and outro music is Media Noche by D.N. Key, and our ad music is Take Me Higher by Jazar, both obtained from the Free Music Archive. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics, please email us at info@actus.org. And until next time, take care, everyone.